Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello, welcome to episode 174 of the Square Ball Podcast with Levi Solicitors. 10% off your legal fees when you mention the Square Ball. Important update from Levi's in just a bit, but first of all, head to levisolicitors.co.uk/the Square Ball. I'm Dan Moylan. With me, Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
Well, we are in separate locations, social distancing, as seems to be the way to do things these days. So this is the Bradford office. Can you hear me, Pontefract?
Bradford, I can hear you. I don't know why Pontefract's French now.
How many points do you want to give to the Bulgarian jury?
I don't know how points work in Eurovision. What's the scale? Moscow, you'll know.
Isn't it 0 to 12 or something, isn't it? But it's all changed.
12 points.
And Leeds office, can you hear me? This is Bradford.
Yup. Send bread and dripping.
Issue sale of our fanzine is on sale now. It went out for the Luton game as was scheduled, but no game. But it is available now via the website. That great Luke Ayling cover with his wonderful flowing locks. Smashing a shot into the Huddersfield net, which feels like a lifetime ago now. Half-season subs available on the website too. Issues 5 through to 8 delivered to your house. And links to the merchandise store when you can find the brand new Street Fighter mugs and new T-shirts at thesquareball.net. Well, where are we now then? Well, the UK has now caught up with the rest of mainland Europe by and large and has been put on lockdown. And the Leeds players have been doing their bit, conveying the right messages.
They've got their system up. They've got their top down. Leeds United on lockdown. There you go. There's a blue joke.
Stuart Dallas doing the prime ministerial duties, which was nice from his apartment, telling everybody to stay indoors.
Doing it ahead of the prime minister, wasn't it, as well? I'm sure his message came out first.
It was. He was a good 24 hours ahead of the game instead of, I don't know what, Boris Johnson was hanging around waiting for. Stuart Dallas was out there, the new Prime Minister of Great Britain. And I mean, we've been in trouble when we try to count the counties before on this podcast, haven't we? The Prime Minister of Great Britain. And saying everybody...
And Northern Ireland.
Get back indoors. Yes. Well, let's just make him Prime Minister of the world, and that's everything, because he was right when he was saying that young people gathering as if it's school holidays, it's not. They're going to house parties, and that's not social distancing. It needs to stop, and we need to sacrifice this next couple of months, and we will save lives. And he's right. So listen to Stuart Dallas, everybody.
Is there anything Stuart Dallas can't do?
It is getting ridiculous, isn't it? When, he's asked to play every position and then just... It's probably Marcelo Bielsa phoned him up and said, look, Stuart, the world needs leadership and you are the man to provide it because you provide everything else. I think once he'd recorded that message and once he'd got his washing off, because you could hear his washing machine going in the background, I think he was out doing deliveries of urgent supplies because he's just everywhere.
And we've heard updates on what it is the Leeds players have been doing exactly. And I think Leeds had a little bit more in place than others. So wrote Amitai Winehouse, saying that because Andrea Rapchisani, obviously from Lombardy, from Milan, which has been the worst hit region in Italy, gave them a little bit of a steer on this. And they've been in lockdown, the players as well, individually since Monday. Medical staff decided that it was the best idea to send them home. And they've been each given individual exercise equipment and exercise plans as well.
Yeah, we did joke about sending women away from the training ground as some kind of World War II propaganda gimmick. But Leeds were ahead of the game on this. They did get that tip off from Radrizzani about what was going on back in Italy, and they've been moving quite fast on it and sending all the players exercise bikes. Nobody's given me an exercise bike. I'm stuck indoors. I don't want one.
Send Mosco an exercise bike, then make him send you body fat measurements on a daily basis. And I'm gonna stand outside his house and block any food deliveries.
Because that's the problem, isn't it, at the minute? I don't know about you, but absolutely eating about 16, 17 hours a day. Have you found the same things happening with you?
It's just boredom, isn't it? And I think part of the issue as well is with an elasticated waistband, you maybe don't realise you're putting on weight, because normally it's when you put on the jeans, innit, and you try and button them and you think, well, they're a bit, that's pinching a bit. But the clothes I'm wearing right now, I could put on about 5 stone and be none the wiser.
Where are you two getting food from?
I've been stockpiling it for ages. Got loads. Anything you want, mate.
You did bring me a bog roll and some soap on Saturday, didn't you?
You'd got yourself in quite a mess, hadn't you? So I had to come and clean you up. Yes, he was. I think we saw the way this was going with the old lockdown. So I had to bring your microphone and stuff, which we handed over through a car window so as to remain distant.
Yes. Although when Dan then came to the same place to fetch, I had to hand him a microphone cable. He didn't have even the class to drive down the street to my house. I had to walk about 50 yards, infecting who knows who with what, to give him a mic cable through a car window.
I mean, speaking of infection, we did think over the weekend that my wife was perhaps not in the best shape, but thankfully it was just a bug. She didn't have to be packed off into the garden to sleep in a tent from now on.
I would possibly suggest that at the start of what sounds like it could be a long time indoors together, you don't begin it by saying things to your wife. You don't look like you're in the best shape. It's not going to be a good few months for you. If that's the way you got to kick it off. Start looking through some photos of before you were married. Oh, look how young and fit and healthy we look.
Before we gave up.
And you look specifically.
Did deep clean the fridge, though. That was the high point of my weekend. Just something to do, just something to occupy, keep the noise down, the internal noise.
Well, that's something then. I think it's looking for a job that is enough of a job that you can say, can you look after the kids? I need to do this other job. That's the key to it. Because obviously if you say you just want to go and, you know, play champ manager, that doesn't go down well, does it? But saying, oh, look, I'm doing important home stuff.
Is there any educational value in teaching the twins to play championship manager?
I've done a 2-hour lecture on Mike Whitlow today, so they're well informed.
Have you found it then with your two? Because it's a bit all right of my two. We did a bit of den building, which I think we passed off as CDT lesson. Bit of running around in the garden, bit of PE.
Generally speaking, it's bloody hard work, I've got to say. It's not helped. My wife's actually been really busy with work stuff, so I've been pretty much on my own with them for 2 solid days, and I'm ready to kill them. So they've been out in the garden digging a bit. I've sent them to dig some holes, which they wanted to do a piss into.
Yeah, that sounds really, really sinister. you want to kill them instead of digging holes?
No, it's for me. Is the hole? I'm gonna go put myself in it soon, I think. Just for a bit of peace. That's right, boys. Yes, all the soil on top. Thank you very much. I'll be
Daddy
fine.
Wants to be alone now.
It's nice and quiet in here. Ah, lovely. But I mean, it is all right, isn't it? We're all well, which is as much as you can ask for, isn't it, at the minute?
It is. I mean, you've got possession of those two. I've somehow forgotten to give you possession of the all-important thing. The old bell.
Well, when am I even going to be on the gantry again?
There we go. That's it. We've had our money's worth out of this episode anyway.
Do you feel the gantry days are behind you now? Do you think it'll all be different when football finally restarts?
I don't imagine they'll be doing a lot of work to it during the pause. That's the thing, is what condition is everything going to be in your mothball or football stadium for however many months? I'm just hoping we don't get word of like the gantry falling to bits over the next few weeks. That would be like a raven flying away from the tower. Although we might be able to bin that bloody bell.
You did say, Mosco, actually, in your journeys up there, your adventures on the gantry, that there are a lot of flies. All the flies in LS11 tend to congregate around one light up there. I mean, you know, yes, that nature's been reclaiming certain other spaces, like, you know, Venice, the canals are running clear, the fish have returned, even dolphins have been sighted. Do you think maybe the flies are going to take over the gantry at Elland Road?
As long as it's flies and not bats.
Yeah, best avoided at the minute. I had stopped thinking about football. Don't know about you. I'd stopped thinking about football until Sunday. And you know, Sky Sports were doing the club-by-club marathon, and Sunday was our day on Sky Sports, if you haven't cancelled it, that is. And it was the first really stark reminder of how brilliant we are and how much I miss football, because I had just kind of put it all to one side because, you know, all glib commentary aside, there is something pretty serious going on. But then that was like the real world came crashing back in, and it was horrible.
We're still allowed to miss fun things, aren't we? I know there's bad stuff going on and it's all very serious, but you're still allowed to look back at nice things and go, oh, that was good, wasn't it? Just when you could like see other people as well. That was nice. And when the kids were doing your head in, you could take them to a park or soft play or something. You know, very minor things, but football's one of the best things, isn't it? Let's be honest. I think this has emphasised that for me, that whatever happens in life, it's worth keeping hold of.
I didn't know where exactly you were going with that thought. I thought you were going to be, this has really brought home to me that actually the really important things in life are footballers and football matches and watching football games. And that's what the world will move forward realizing from this global pandemic. Football was the most important thing.
Well, it's clear that, you know, money's not a real thing. So let's put faith in football. It's a nice thing. At least we can enjoy that.
I look forward to Cristiano Ronaldo's wages being cut in accordance with the new world order.
He can have £2,000 a month. That's fine for him.
Did you see that interesting fact that was doing the rounds about Paris Saint-Germain and how they were paying their players and that they had ethical bonuses built into their contract, and their ethics amounted to having to wave to the fans at the end of a game, and for that they got paid all sorts of ridiculous sums. I think it was it Neymar or something who got something like £250,000 for waving to the crowd?
Jesus. Well, I'm not going to say anything bad about those PSG guys because they are good, solid, honest chaps in general who are very moral, and I look forward to them owning us next season.
If there is a next season, in fact, let's get this one finished first. So have you done any other football things across this week? Because it has been, it's been famine rather than feast where football's concerned, isn't it? Everyone seems to be doing retro stuff.
I was quite busy last week before it all properly hit, because we still had the issue 7 of the fanzine to finish off and put online so people could read it. And a lot of people who, it should be, my copy actually fell through the letterbox today. So once I'd scorched it in a cleansing fire, I was able to flip through another magnificent issue that thankfully will not be the lost issue of the Square Ball, because so many people took heed of our call to pre-order it so that we knew how many to print. And we haven't decided, we haven't counted or calculated exactly how much money from that is going to Leeds fans' food banks. But yeah, there was a double whammy of help. It helped us not print loads of magazines that we would be using for toilet paper rather than selling to people to read. And then a chunk of it's going to the food banks to help them as well. So I was still doing all that. It was very much business as usual, doing my little job until the weekend. And then I total collapse and the League Cup final 1988. But we don't really need to go into why I was watching that or what it was all for.
So the Phil Hayes Show continues across the season break, our joint podcast with The Athletic, and you are setting the agenda on this as well. We're turning over one of the discussion points to you. If you check out Phil's Twitter, his feed, he's running a poll on there where you get to decide what we talk about on that show. That's normally released Friday morning, 5 a.m. UK time, and you can get it in all the usual podcast places. And if you want it ad-free along with all the other Athletic podcasts, you can get that via The Athletic app and fill this lockdown period with loads of stuff to read on The Athletic from Leeds United and beyond. There's no ads, no pop-ups, no clickbait, and a free trial with 50% off a sub by going to theathletic.co.uk/thesquareball. Well, in terms of actual football, we do know that the fixtures have been shelved until the 30th of April at the very earliest, which leaves only the Charlton game in its original position. And even then, you can't imagine with things as they are at the minute and the timescales being talked about that one's going to make it through either. It's going to run well into the summer, this one, isn't it?
It does look that way. I mean, part of being promoted in summer is quite an appeal. Those kind of World Cup days where people are out on the street, shirtless, pumping the fists around the place in a friendly way. That is not a fighty way. It does have a certain appeal. And I think summer football is the way forward, to be perfectly honest, after this. Let's just bring it in permanently. Let them have World Cups and those lesser events in winter.
There does seem to be a game being played exactly as where we are recording. I mentioned on the last one that the SofaScore app has a not cancelled section. And right now it is IFK Stocksund 1, Carlsberg's BK one being played at the Danderyd Arena in Danderyd, Sweden. It's a friendly match. Gabriel Kristic opened the scoring for the away team after 1 minute, and then there was an equaliser on the 38th minute, but it just says goal. We don't know who equalised for Stocksund. I'm now fascinated by that game. It's half time. I might just bin you two off and just absorb myself in an actual match.
Well, it has caused all sorts of complications for next season for Leeds United. You think of the fact that this has happened right in the midst of season ticket renewals. And Andrea Radrizzani, we have heard on that because a lot of people have been tweeting the club saying, well, you're going to do something about it. And Andrea Radrizzani just this afternoon did tweet in response to an inquiry that Angus Kinnear is on the season ticket renewal case. The club management understands the difficulties of this period and will work out something.
I imagine that's very much... the way that things often get delegated at Ellen Road. Oh, there's a, what's Angus? Yeah. Can you work something out? Cool. Nice one. I'll tweet about it. Yeah. Something should be worked out. It is awkward, not just for Leeds, but it seems like all football clubs in the season ticket renewal period, because it's a huge chunk of their budget. So certainly clubs, well, even at our level, the Championship isn't awash with cash. Everybody spends all the money that they get on players' wages, and without that money coming in, they don't know what they're going to be able to spend. But equally, many people with smaller budgets and bigger concerns don't know what they're going to be able to spend and whether that's going to include a season ticket for a season that might not be played until... When is the 2021 season even going to begin? We don't even know when the 1920 season is going to end. So it seems like some kind of sensible solution to pause renewals and say, we'll let you get back to us and pay us when we have more confidence about what's going to happen going forward would be a good thing as well. I think Leeds have a slightly different thing as well in that they're not offering new sales. So it is all renewals, and they know that 95% of fans will renew eventually, because they always do. So they can have some confidence in kind of the future revenue. So if they were able to just say, look, if you want to renew and you're going to renew, we'll extend the window and give you some more time. I think it would be a way of helping, but it might cause some problems for them. I recognise that.
And that dovetails, I guess, nicely into what the EFL resolved when they had their board meeting and they agreed five sort of key objectives. Obviously, making a contribution to the coronavirus effort, looking after the clubs, the employees and the fans and so on and so forth. But the key one there for fans is deliver a successful conclusion to the 2019-20 season. So at least football seems amenable to concluding it when the time is right, because it would be very, very strange indeed to just bring the curtain down on the whole thing and leave it unresolved. It's going to make everybody really, really unhappy in one way or another, or certainly some people unhappy and then not others. And so the tidiest way is to finish the competition, I guess.
I don't know why there's been a preoccupation with people saying, oh, well, next season won't start on time if we finish this one and stuff. It's like, what does it matter? Football seasons are a made-up thing. It's not like it's not an actual season where you have to be, you know, get the crops in before it's frosty or something. It's a made-up thing. Just play it when you can play it. And if everything has to move around for a while, then that's absolutely fine.
And it is feeling more and more like the idea that we'll be kicking off a brand new football season in August anyway looks fanciful. What are we, end of March, start of April? I mean, it would be nice if Boris Johnson's prediction of 12 weeks was absolutely accurate and on the money. But to get everything back to normal, and we're not talking about just this country, because you might have players at clubs who've gone back to other European countries where they're from, and they could be stuck there with different levels of different stages of the virus, either accelerating or hopefully soon receding. So there's a lot that needs to flatten out before you can say, right, we're ready now to move on with football. And I think having everybody sort of tidily back in pre-season training, or what would it be, like the first couple of weeks of July, ready for a big kickoff in August 2020, because we've binned off last season. No time for that, but we can definitely make this happen. There's too many unknowns ahead of us to even decide whether next season will kick off on time. So the sensible thing seems to be exactly what Michael's saying. Don't put any pressure on by trying to start something else before we finish the thing that we're actually doing.
And there seems to be an increasing willingness to play behind closed doors. I mean, the PFA deputy chief exec called Bobby Barnes spoke to The Athletic and said that they reckon games are going to have to be played behind closed doors to get the season finished. And we've sort of touched on it many times that it's kind of the thing we don't want as fans. But if it's one of the only ways to get the season done in a remotely acceptable time frame, then are we going to have to accept that?
I think part of the issue initially was that if you play behind closed doors, loads of fans will just turn up anyway. I think as this thing is getting worse and people are seeing the deaths going to hundreds and thousands every day, maybe people, if it does come around, will be thinking, okay, let's be sensible about this. I hope so anyway, because it's obviously not the kind of, there was a bit of downplaying of it initially saying, oh, it's just like another flu. No one really had it in Britain for a time. So everyone was like, ah, well, just can't we just carry on? And that's very much, you sense that's changed dramatically in the last few days. So hopefully if they do go behind closed doors, they can get them played successfully. Whether or not they should or not, I don't know. I'm still kind of the mind that we should just wait. But I understand there are financial pressures on it as well. I saw an article saying that, you know, the Premier League might have to give back £750 million if they don't fulfil their fixtures. So there are financial imperatives to get it done and get people paid and everything. So it probably is the way it'll go, as unsatisfactory as it'll be.
Yeah, it is. It's becoming a conversation where they're saying, well, we can cheer up the nation. They'll all be locked indoors, but we can put live football matches on and roll them, maybe like Amazon did when they had it for, was it Boxing Day, when it was back-to-back Premier League from lunchtime till midnight. And we can do that to get the games finished and everyone will stay indoors to watch it, because it will be like Dame Vera Lynn coming on the radio while the German bombers were over London during the Blitz. But what it actually, I think, comes down to is this potential breach of contract where they have to give all the broadcasters worldwide £700 million back that I think they just got paid in February. They get paid the money from the Premier League deals on certain dates. And yeah, they basically just took £700 million for the rest of the season about a month ago. And so all those broadcasters who, if they're like Sky, where a lot of the subscriptions are on pause and they're not getting any income, they'll be looking at, you know, Watford and Burnley and West Ham and saying, well, you've been fucking rubbish anyway, provided fuck all entertainment because you're not Leeds. How about you give us that money back because we want it now? And so all those teams who are fucking rubbish and who, I mean, I can't imagine myself being cheered up particularly. I would rather watch the League Cup final from 1988 than watch fucking Watford versus Burnley. So the idea that it would help my mood, I can already foresee a moment where there's the big build up and say, right, we are bringing the Premier League back. We've got them all fit again. We're going to put the Premier League back on the television. It's going to be free to air for everybody to watch. And it'll be like normal life back. You can't go 200 meters from your house, but you can watch Watford versus Burnley. And I'll sit down and I'll watch it and I'll remember, fucking Premier League's fucking rubbish. Don't care.
It's interesting when you talk about the money there, the amount of money that's been bandied around, that you do wonder, and it feels like on a social level it might happen, but with football, do you think there might be a bit of a realignment? Because you've seen Mark Palios, who's the guy who used to be the FA chief exec and is now the co-owner and executive chair of Tranmere, reckons football should change. It's the best opportunity we've had to sort out football's labour market, because it is a complete and utter mess, because the labour market in the Championship is what makes it so unsustainable in many ways, doesn't he? He's advocating a salary cap and reckons that we should be paying everybody less. There's been talk of a £6,000 wage cap in one of the divisions, hasn't there?
Yeah, that was going to be temporary, and Birmingham have become the first club, just before we started recording, they've gone to their players and said, could you take everybody over earning more than £6,000 a week? They've asked them to take a 4-month 50% pay cut, and then they'll pay them it back once the season restarts. But I mean, Palios is apparently he emailed his opinion to all the EFL chairmen before they had their meetings last week, and his comments to The Athletic, they start weird, because I'm not sure, I'll be honest, I love crises. Well, I suppose maybe actually that's the kind of person you want in a decision-making role, somebody who actually fucking loves a crisis, because they've fucking got one. But he does make a really good point where he says, are we really going to start next season, whenever that is, and pretend it's business as usual? And he does make a good point, because we are living through this is Tuesday when we're recording, so it's just under 24 hours since Boris Johnson went on television and told everybody to stay indoors from now until time indefinite, which is unprecedented in our lifetimes, at least. I don't know if there were similar well, I suppose with blackouts during the war and things, that has happened, but it would have been over the radio. So in the television, in the internet age, and certainly in our lifetimes, nothing like this has ever happened in this country before. And I think that's as well part of why I don't see things just quietly beginning again in August, as if we'll just go like, whew. Well, that was pretty bad, wasn't it? But that was last week. Anyway, football can start again now, and it will just be exactly the same as it was. And if there is a way that it does seem like a bit of an excuse, perhaps, that clubs like Tranmere and whoever who have been living beyond their means because all the competitions are structured like that. It was Stoke's, one of the Stoke executives was talking about how it's ridiculous that Leeds make millions and millions of pounds less in broadcasting revenue than Norwich do, when there's only one place between us on the league ladder, and that the thirst for that Premier League money creates the spending in the Championship and below to try and get a piece of it, which has fucked everybody. And he also said it's a shame everybody in the Championship now and in the EFL hates each other because they're all at each other's throats about profit and loss and trying to get everybody done over by for financial mismanagement. Where if we did just sack everybody who is earning over a certain amount or offered them some kind of more sensible pay, commensurate to what they actually do. I mean, it's very easy and trite to say, you know, the old thing of give nurses footballers wages, but it seems like a sensible manoeuvre at the moment. So maybe some of those thoughts will carry through in the shakedown, or football will just go like it normally does. And like I suggested before, whoo, well, that was bad, but got away with it, didn't we? All still here. Carry on, lads. Right. All that money that you deferred, you're getting it back. And loyalty bonus, because you didn't go and sign for somebody else when your contract ended and we extended it in June. Of course, have some more money, because there's plenty of it.
I mean, part of the issue, if the broadcasters do go after them for not fulfilling the fixtures, is that they'll go to get the money and they'll be like, well, we've kind of spent it. We've given it to all these players now. So if you want to sue us for it, you can like repossess Troy Deeney if you want. If Sky just want to have him, BT can have like, you know, Jeff Hendrick. Sorry about not playing the games, but here he is. Do what you want with him. There's such a relationship between football clubs and TV companies. They absolutely need each other. So I think the threat of legal action is probably a bit meaningless, because if all of a sudden there was no football at all, people would just cancel Sky more or less instantly. So we'll see what happens on it. But with the wage cap stuff, like, I think people on here occasionally do accuse us of being communists, particularly in Moscow. But I don't really have a problem with footballers earning quite a lot of money.
No.
But, you know, do they need to earn more than like if they earn 50 grand a week, that's like a good yearly salary every week. That's surely enough. And that's a relatively low salary for a decent Premier League player. And it shouldn't be, is my opinion on it.
Yeah, I don't know what other business or industry, but maybe a few in the kind of the tech world, where an average employee, in fact, yeah, we are in a situation where the average Premier League squad player could buy out a League One club. They could just buy them lock, stock and barrel. And I don't know what other industry has that kind of structure where a low-level, non-contributing employee, like some fucking reserve player at Aston Villa, could just go and buy an entire rival business because they're paid that much. And I don't know what other industry as well pays more than 100% of its income to employees and leaves absolutely nothing else for the running of the business. That seems to be that's the madness in football, which is, it's not a communist argument or anything like that. It's entirely right, as you said, that footballers provide massive entertainment for thousands of people and should be paid for the work that they do. But yeah, as part of sort of looking at what's important in society, like right now, you know, we can close football and get along just fine. We couldn't just put a hospital on pause for the next 3 months and say footballers can sort the virus out. So maybe, yeah, some of that, just having a little think about where we're putting our resources is a good thing to consider.
And, you know, if you say to Jordan Pickford, you can only earn 20 grand a week, he's not going to go and find another job, is he? He's not going to think, oh, well, in that case, I shall retrain and do something that can earn me my 80 grand a week.
Well, that's it. It's always been the threat where he'd say, well, I'll go and sign for Liverpool and they'll pay me £21,000 a week. So it needs that sense from maybe some leadership within the actual leagues, but then it goes worldwide because then he can say, well, I'll go to Paris Saint-Germain because they'll pay me £30,000 a week. So there's too many fucking idiots involved, basically, who are too willing to give decent footballers. I'm sure Jordan Pickford, you know, he's the England goalkeeper, that carries with it a lot of responsibility and a lot of prestige and should be financially rewarded as such. But yeah, this kind of ever spiraling contest just to pay footballers more and more money to do exactly the same as what somebody in League Two does. It's just kicking a ball, isn't it?
Give it, have a go myself.
You'd watch, wouldn't you? You'd watch League Two. I'd watch 11 people in a Sunday morning playing football. Yeah, you know, Neymar is perhaps just not as relevant. I mean, when we're talking, you probably don't even need to cut the wages. Just cut these waving to the fans bonuses, which is an indication of how ridiculous footballers have got and when a footballer or his agent, to be more accurate, can sit there and say, unless he is paid X amount of money, he will not wave to the fans. It's almost like you're having to structure this menu of what Neymar, I'm picking on him because I assume he will have the most ridiculous contract at PSG. Also, because I don't know many of their players, because I've watched championship football, you know, well, he's not actually going to get out of bed unless he's paid this particular bonus. And then the breakfast bonus, if he's going to eat breakfast, he's going to have to be paid to eat breakfast. And running through this, if you want him to sleep, well, I'm afraid that's going to cost you as well. All that kind of off the contract stuff has reached a level of player power. Yeah, I don't know how we've got onto just reorganising the game of football. If you are an agent listening to this, I'm sure you've got enough to worry about without us coming over the hill to claim your means of production.
I suspect we will see a little bit of social realignment after this, but maybe not football. I do think football will probably just get back to business as usual, but you know, it's the world we're in, isn't it? Speaking of the madness of football, Massimo Cellino has had a bit of a say about what should happen now. And, you know, not to make light of the situation in Italy, because we are going to laugh at Massimo Cellino because he's a funny man. He's advocated having the season nullified, but he is saying that from a position where Brescia, his current club, are bottom of Serie A, 9 points adrift, and will almost certainly be relegated.
Everything has to be moved, Dento, and this is the plague.
Yes, it is.
The idiot.
It is time for realism, gentlemen. This is the plague. Ladies, you're already all diseased. We established this. You don't have to worry about the plague. This is a time for realistic gentlemen like Massimo Cellino, who I think a level of this, he's kind of unique in this situation because I don't think his motivation for cancelling the Scudetto this season is not so much because Brescia are last. I think he actually would welcome relegation because he describes the league as cursed now. He says, anyone who wants this cursed league, take it. It is closed, finished. And that's his problem. He now regards the 1920 Scudetto as cursed, which is his usual. I think we may have even joked on here or somewhere else that if we were talking about COVID-17 rather than COVID-19, he would probably be trying to build a spaceship to another planet to get away from him. But no, COVID-19 is enough for him to decide that the league is cursed. Relegate Brescia now. Anybody who wants to take that horrible, it'd be like the Maltese Falcon. Everybody who tries to claim ownership of it will be shot in horrible circumstances.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Joined now on the podcast then by Adam Pope from BBC Radio Leeds. How are you, Popey?
I'm all right, considering. Thank you, guys. Yes, I'm doing all right. I've had a few days isolation, more out of precaution than any real major symptoms. But yeah, I'm feeling all right, thank you.
And are you now working from home? You're in lockdown as well?
Yeah, basically, we're trying to keep us at home as much as possible, as you'd expect. But there's a sort of minimal shift basis because apparently we're all classed as key workers, so which I find hard to believe. But anyway, we're sort of going on a really minimal basis, and it's sort of, you know, where the necessity is really, because there are things that are in the midst of all that we think are important to be done in terms of what we do as a. Obviously, it's a public service broadcaster, Dan.
Has it been weird kind of having the football go from full speed to almost irrelevant, like in the space of a week?
Absolutely crazy gear change, hasn't it? I mean, for us, obviously, just getting used to the shock, if we're just going out on totally what we do, the shock of not doing what we do and having that was taken away was really severe, isn't it? Which I'm sure the fans feel massively acutely. And it was sort of, you sort of knew it was coming a bit, but when it came, it was still a mega, mega shock. And now that we don't know when it's going to resume, it's still quite hard to get your head round. And what it's meant for us personally is that we've got no sporting output whatsoever at the station. So we're working in a very different way at the moment, Dan. So we're trying to get content for other programmes, which hopefully includes a bit of Leeds United stuff somewhere along the way.
And where does football go from here then, do you think?
Well, I've got to say, like 6 days ago, I'd say, 7 days ago, I was really confident my beacon was that the season will restart with fans at some point. And I never felt it was going to be April the 4th particularly, but you know, even when they pushed back to April the 30th, okay, probably still a little bit hopeful with that. But you know, my vision is that they're going to finish the season in some format and hopefully with supporters. I have to say, having been off for a few days and now sort of back into it, having listened to everything and watched a lot, especially on social media, and you do wonder whether that will be the case. I still hope it is. There's more talk of behind closed doors games. But for me, I just feel we've got to get to the clean end of a season. And that's not just because of the Leeds United situation, but I just think it's so important that we get closure on it.
Do you think the break might benefit Leeds if, you know, assuming the season does pick up again? Because we tend to come out of the traps quite quickly after the summer. We have done both seasons under Bielsa.
Well, even if it was, say, it even got pushed through to like July or to August, yeah, I'd still bat Leeds to go and finish the job. I think the residual sort of fitness they've built up and the ability of being able to play together in a superbly aesthetically joined up way and an effective way that's, you know, wins mostly, you know, not going to lose that sort of knowledge, are you, particularly just over a few months? I think the fitness levels will be a real help too, and again, you won't lose those completely either. And I think the fact that they know how to train and know what's required to maintain that level, then that will help them massively over these weeks and months. And listen to Patrick Bamford last night on BBC. He was saying how they're trying so hard to load up as much as they can their training so that they don't feel that they're going to have to spend as long with a mini pre-season to get back into the full swing. I think Leeds will be highly monitored and highly ready to get back into it.
As someone who's close to the club then, Popey, although not a Leeds fan, you're an Evertonian by birth, aren't you? But what do you think of the club then in the state that it's been in up to the break?
In the times I've covered them, I mean, they're in the best possible position. I don't just mean the league position either. Look, not everything's right at the club. It isn't. I get that. And, you know, the current regime have made mistakes, but altogether, the whole recipe has worked to the extent that you have this brilliant, brilliant head coach who I think is responsible for a lot of what's going on, I have to say, and has made Leeds absolutely Premier League participants in my eyes because of the way he's coached people way, way beyond what we thought they had in terms of their ability. But I think the club is definitely pointing in the right direction. I think there's some great stuff that's going off the pitch. I'm really excited about the move back down to Fullerton Park with the social village and the new training ground and joining things. I love that whole thing about bringing things back into LS11, if you like. So those macro things are really good. What we're seeing on the pitch, which I remember when I first started doing this with Eddie Gray for BBC Leeds, that was the thing. It doesn't matter what else goes on. What happens on that green thing is what counts. And that is what's counting. And I love it that the fact we debate mostly football-y stuff, don't we? We debate whether Bamford should not be starting, whether Roberts should start. Yeah, we debate which is going to be the better go with, do they need a brand new goalkeeper, etc. That's the stuff. And that I haven't had for years and years and years. And that's an absolute joy to be able to focus on that. So yeah, I think they are in a really, really decent state. It's a bit weird though, Dan, isn't it? Because right now you're sort of thinking, well, everybody was sort of worrying about, well, if they don't go up this year, what's going to happen? That's almost like a out the window sort of scenario now for, I don't think people are even talking like that, are they? They just want to get to the season end, whatever that means now, and not worry too much about where the club's going to be, because, you know, there's bigger things to worry about right now. So certain arguments that make you do worry about the club a little bit, where they are maybe financially and all that sort of stuff, and do they need more investment, that sort of feels to me a little bit on the back burner, where it was quite much in the foreground a little while ago.
Giving us a bit of perspective, hasn't it, this coronavirus issue?
Oh, man. I mean, in ways that I couldn't have imagined. I mean, you know, obviously you're looking at something like the Spanish flu, aren't you, with these once in a sort of 100 years types pandemics that come around. And it's the other things that make you realise, isn't it? I mean, people who've got family members, and I've got myself in this, who are due to have, you know, serious sort of operations soon. And you worry not only about the pandemic, but, you know, can the hospitals take doing a major operation on people, and the NHS people on the front line, are they going to be in a fit state to do the jobs that they're doing? So yeah, it's just crazy. And I think it's been an absolute delight to see the Leeds players take it, not just on the club's official website, but Stuart Dallas and players like that take it on their own, if you like, take it on their own, off their own bat, to go and put the messages out there that need to be put out there to make everybody realise this is absolutely serious, and that we could be just at the beginning of a tsunami of horrible news over the next few weeks.
Just going back to the football then, Popey, do you find that it makes your job easier when the team plays as Bielsa's Leeds do?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a lot more enjoyable. I mean, I don't think I'll ever see this football again, I'll be honest with you. I mean, where'd you go from what was almost perfection at times when you see that goal at Hull by Tyler Roberts, the first one for me, by the way. And you've seen that on a relatively regular basis in football terms. So, yes, it does. It's an absolute joy. And I do feel that, although I felt it last year, I do feel that it is building up to the big moment that Leeds will go back up to the Premier League. So in that sense, yes, it is. You just want to witness it, don't you? And you want to witness it with everybody together. That's the thing. So that's the hard part, isn't it? Not knowing if you're going to do it with everybody around you.
And is that your favourite moment of the season so far, then, one of the goals at Hull? Have you got any particular highlights?
Yeah, I'd say if you want a favourite goal, I think it is Robert's first one, definitely at Hull. Harrison at Reading away was right up there, if you're just looking at pure, you know, goals. I think other moments for me, though, guys, is when you, if you go back to, say, last year, and you see how Bielsa came through the whole Spygate thing, I think seeing him come out the other side of the wobble, which, if you want to call it, over the 10 games, and where he got quite spiky and upset with what he perceived to be, I think, enemies coming at him from all angles, really. And I think maybe he was over-exaggerating the situation, but if you think in the post-Nottingham Forest sort of period, I think seeing him come through, stick to his principles, the lads sticking with it as well, and everybody sort of coming through the other side, I think that's been a really, really special moment. And that's hard to quantify, isn't it, and hard to define. But I know people talk about the speech that he made to the lads and all that, but just making plan A better, or returning to a better plan A, he's been proven right, as he has been on nearly all occasions. So I think that will go down as a big moment for me if this is completed in the way we want it to be.
It would be strange, wouldn't it, to like have the season end, and even if Leeds were to get promoted, but not to have that moment, like, because I'm sure in your mind as a commentator, you've got that moment, you know what it feels like.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, I try not to write things down, because when I have done in the past, I've made a real mess of them when I've tried to regurgitate it, or if you try to read it off something. So I try not to write down what I want to say. So, but I've got a couple of things in my head I've had them all planned out in my head for last year against Villa, or whenever it was meant to be, but yeah, or even Ipswich on the final day, whatever. But yeah, there's a few things that I'd like to get out there when the moment comes, but I try not to, because the feast moves all the time, doesn't it? And you know, like when the 15 points got wiped out that day, and I said something about, is it at 0.0 or something? I can't remember what I said now at the time, but people sort of latched onto it as a bit of a moment, and I thought, well, I literally thought that up seconds before I said it, so I sort of rely on that spontaneity, really, and that leads to mistakes, to be fair. But I think hopefully I capture the moment with Whelan or whoever I'm with at the time to sort of make people remember how they felt at that point, you know, whether it be Luke Ayling's ponytail being ripped out, although I missed him playing guitar because I was too busy celebrating myself. but stuff like that, you just try and capture how fans feel, I think, without being too trite about it.
So fast forward then a few months and imagine Leeds do get back to the Premier League and everything is over hopefully. Leeds against Everton. How'd you feel at that moment?
What, when it comes to the actual game?
Yeah.
Or just the prospect of it. I've thought about it a lot. And I mean, I know they have met, obviously, in the League Cup when Adi White scored that great goal. And Moyes totally butchered his team that night as well. He left them three players short, I felt. But we didn't have commentary then because of under the lovely Uncle Ken's regime. So, and I've never had the chance to actually do it. It's a fixture also that is largely been a horrible one for all Everton fans, particularly Ellen Road, until Rooney managed to break the sort of duck, didn't he, after all those decades. But I can't wait. And I promise you, it will be done in the style that you're used to me doing. It will not be done in a sort of compromised version.
Even if you're hopefully crying inside.
But you know what, though? And I've got to be honest here, I know they're my club, but I've been away for so long. And certainly as a fan and that experience of a fan, it's almost like once removed. You know, it's always your club, don't get me wrong, but it's almost once removed. You know, I feel and sort of live Leeds all the time. Yes, it's a job, but it's more than that, isn't it? As you guys know, it's so soaks into your pores, doesn't it? And you feel it. And, you know, let's be honest, I'm more aware of what's happening at Leeds than I am at Everton because I'm not around it all the time, or I'm not going to see the games or all the players, and you don't get that affinity the same way. But yeah, it'll be a great, I'll be really proud moment if it happens. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to give Whelan some stick over as well because he turned Everton down twice as well.
Oof.
So he told me, yeah. So along with Bayern Munich and Bologna and a few others as well, but just so we could go to Middlesbrough. But it'll be an amazing moment. Obviously, I've got family involved and you know, they go all the time. So it'll be crazy. And it would be really nice to do it at Goodison before they move to the new ground as well. That'd be special.
Well, fingers crossed, because that sounds like an outcome that works for all of us, eh?
I hope so. It'll just be great. It's just got to happen, hasn't it? And you know, you've started making me think now as well if it doesn't happen. But I just can't think beyond it not happening this year in some format. It has to. But to not celebrate in the way that we want to celebrate, guys, God, that's just going to be, that'd be just the ultimate Leedsy thing, wouldn't it? Pandemic causes, you know, lack of end of season celebrations as Leeds get promoted to Premier League. And I'm not even thinking of the worst alternative.
As an Everton fan, how does the prospect of Liverpool not winning the title appeal to you, though, if they did decide to cancel the whole thing?
Well, if they did, and this, how typical is this, but that would also mean that Leeds wouldn't be allowed to go up, wouldn't it? And that is the harsher penalty. I mean, to be honest, the whole Liverpool thing is like, because it's happened so, and they are so far ahead, you're just saying, just get it done and move on, you know, and it's almost like, well, it's been too easy, so you haven't really won it anyway. So that's how I sort of like put it down. But yeah, I mean, look, ultimately, I mean, I think Liverpool won the time when Leeds last went up, didn't they? As I recall, in 90, didn't they? So they've either both got to do it together. But the ultimate would be, of course, Liverpool not being given the title and Leeds being given promotion. That would be the ultimate. But yeah, you'd just be fed up with the crowing and the, you know, there's some really like horrible stuff still goes on, you know. I mean, the whole Liverpool-Everton thing is quite weird because I grew up and it was quite vociferous, but traditionally there was a sort of religious thing about it, you know, Everton with the Catholics or Liverpool with the Protestants. I never saw any of that or felt any of that at all growing up in the 70s and 80s. But the actual occasions were really big. It's like, because like Evertonians would take a third of the Anfield Cop and the scars would be burning and it'd be quite nasty. Your stomach would be churning as a kid, you know, it was all pretty visceral and stuff. And then it became more about banter really, you know, and they're just the barbed sort of comments and stuff. And then obviously both sides were doing pretty well at the same time before they decided to go and do what they did at Heysel and then ruined it for, you know, obviously all those, you know, those poor Juventus families and obviously for English football as well on the back of it. So that's caused over the years a lot of resentment. But I think now it's just like you get all the plastic Liverpool fans who just crow about stuff that really they've got no sort of right to really. And I think it's just hard, you know, and there's so many not what I'd call real Liverpool fans. And it's just annoying. And I tell you what did annoy me, I was saying my Everton family, they showed me the week and just on that high school thing, you know, there was a banner in the Liverpool end at one of the derbies a couple of years ago, just celebrating the fact that Stoyer won the European Cup the year after. after, which was obviously the one that Everton were meant to win because, you know, we were champions and weren't able to go and compete. And we were probably, in my opinion, the best side in Europe at the time, having won the Cup Winners' Cup and what have you. So stuff like that, it's a bit more subliminal than what you see when you go to Millwall and stuff like that at times on some grounds with what people do towards the Leeds fans. But stuff like that, just you just got to stop that. And that really grinds Evertonians' gears, that sort of thing. So yeah, it will give nobody any pleasure to see them lift the title. Celebrate for 10 years.
Poppy, thanks for joining us, mate. Really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, guys.
Stay safe. Thanks a lot.
You too, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers, Adam.
Cheers, fellas.
Well, as the world adjusts to the new realities brought about by coronavirus, our podcast partner, Levi Solicitors, want to do their bit to help the frontline workers who have done so much in recent weeks and will continue to do so. If you're a regular listener to this podcast, you'll know you can get 10% off your legal fees by going through us. Very much remains the case. However, Ruth and the team at Levi's have sent us a message that they want us to pass on to you. And it says, in the light of all the fab work that the NHS staff, supermarket workers, delivery drivers, and all the key workers are doing, we would like to say a little thank you and give a little bit back. Therefore, we're offering key workers a 20% discount off our legal fees for the time being. So if you need legal services, hopefully this will help to ease the burden just a little bit for you in this time of uncertainty. And Levi's do loads of areas of personal and commercial law, including property, employment, and future planning. Just one thing to mention, though, you can only use one offer at a time. 10% off your fees for going through us or 20% off if you are a key worker. Head to levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Let's move on to heroes and villains now then, who's made us happy and sad across the last 7 days. The Ken Bates Villainy Award is the one that comes first. Ken Bates gets the first nomination. Those are the rules. What are we blaming him for here?
I mean, he's pretty quiet, but if he was still running a business, he'd definitely be going down the Mike Ashley Timmy Weatherspoon's route, wouldn't he, of just going, nope, it's staying open, I'm afraid. I don't care for your rules. This is my world.
The Chinese virus. It'd be what's her face, that so-called Alison Pearson. Didn't she say that all of China should be ashamed of itself?
Yes.
One of those tweets.
It was the label Made in China should be a label of shame, she said, from her Chinese-built iPhone.
Yes. When I said that, I mentioned last week that this might be the time when the internet reasserts itself as a force for good before it got taken over by idiots. She's one of the idiots. Do not listen to her. Be nice.
Who else is getting a nomination then?
I mean, I can see on the prep sheet here a picture of Howard Wilkinson stood outside the West Stand, is it, I think? Mm. It looks like. And I believe he's got a hat on, which I still own. I've got one of those in the loft. It's the half blue, half yellow cap with a massive, massive Leeds badge on it. And looking very well, he is too. So why is he a villain?
Well, he's not.
Well, it's a controversial move, isn't it, first of all? But this has come from the poison pen, you might want to say, of Ryan Mallinson, who was clearing out his garage and he found this photo of himself as a child with Sergeant Wilco outside the banqueting suite. You know the steps, the fire escape steps that come down, which is where Ryan has been pictured. He's got an arm round him from Sergeant Wilco, who's wearing a red Asics bib, which dates the picture roughly. A nice bowl haircut as well from Ryan. I think, Michael, you spotted a similar one in the past.
Yeah, similar. It's similar, like it should have been curtains, but couldn't be asked.
I've just noticed as well that the picture is framed that we're looking at.
Well, that's right. Special moment for Ryan because he spent the day being a ball boy at the training ground and he said it made his childhood. And at the end of training, he had a penalty shootout with Gary Speed, Tony Yeboah, and a couple of the younger players. Good times. But walking off the pitch, you see, the players were smashing the ball into the goal that backed onto Elm Road. Somebody put a ball in for Lucas, who then attempted an overhead kick, which we've seen before at Spartak Moscow, was it? Yeah, Heerenveen, wasn't it?
Yes.
But this one, Lucas spooned into the car park rather than the back of the Partizan net. They all laughed, and so did I, thinking we're all mates now. However, Wilco caught him laughing, pulled him aside and said, "Do you think that's funny, son?" He was clearly really pissed off with them, and inside, Ryan just cried. He can't remember what happened next as I disappeared up my own arse. So that nomination comes from Ryan for Sergeant Wilco, one of our greatest all-time managers being a villain.
We can't have him as a villain.
So Ryan wants basically to have a go at Howard Wilkinson for being a professional, does he? Some ungrateful child turns up at the training ground thinking he's running the show, thinking he's got the right to laugh at things.
It's the worst thing a ball boy can do than think he's mates with the players. That's surely a social faux pas, if not a professional one.
He's lucky Wilkinson didn't give him a good hiding, to be honest.
Well, he says he can't remember what happened next. There's nothing to say that Mick Hennigan didn't.
Do you have any other nominations for villainy?
We need some because we can't nominate Howard.
But what about Ryan then for nominating Howard?
Juan Mata. I'm going to nominate him as well. Did you see the clips that's gone viral of the Leeds lad being a goalkeeper?
I was just going to say but Juan Mata, as far as I'm aware, is the kind of the one acceptable scum player because he does things for charity and seems nice.
But trying to muscle in on our fans, isn't he, basically?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was kind of saying, "Oh, you can. I'll come and take free kicks at you if you want." And I like to think the boy will just go, "Nah, you're all right. Busy next weekend."
I did notice that he wasn't the only scummer jumping out. So this is the kid who's been kicking a ball against his fence in his back garden. Which I don't know if maybe that's how desperate we've become for football that an 11-year-old kicking a ball against a wall is now what everybody wants to watch for hours. But anyway, I think De Gea, who is the current scum keeper, and Peter Schmeichel, who's the old scum keeper. They've only ever had two. They were all muscling in on it as well, and I'm not happy about that. He was clearly wearing a Leeds United goalkeeper kit. And, you know, if you're either a scum outfielder, infielder, one of their two goalkeepers, just stop. Stay away from it. Nothing to do with you. Not your business. He was Irish, so if Paddy Bonner wanted to have an opinion on it, that's fine. Never played for scum, has something in common with him, and is a goalkeeper. But I don't know why he just came to mind. But
which other goalkeepers of Ireland have?
Well, they had Niall Quinn.
Yep, he was one for sure.
Although I think he played his goalkeeping game for Manchester City, didn't he? They had Shay Given for a long time, and he played for Manchester City as well, not for scum, only briefly. Who else? Dean Kiley? Pat Jennett? Oh, no. Was Pat?
Oh, don't get into that. No.
Lots of others, I'm sure. But Bonner is the one that I mainly remember.
So do we nominate Manchester United as our villains then for muscling in on our reflected glory?
I think so, yeah. Find your own. Just because you've not got any nice fans who are doing nice things, don't try and steal ours.
I think that's fair. I back that.
I kind of want to give it to Ryan, though.
Ryan's been punished enough by the sounds of it.
Maybe so.
All right, in the absence of anything better, than Man United can have it. Let's move on to the Andy Hughes Hero Award, somebody who's done something good across the last week.
Can we give it to Jim Leighton? Not the hero, the villain specifically. I've remembered they had another goalkeeper. I'm exempting Les Seeley because he did his... he was funny at Aston Villa when he used to shout a lot. But Jim Leighton.
For doing what exactly?
For playing in goal for Manchester United for a while.
Well, if you're a kid as well, you wouldn't want Jim Leighton coming round to train you, would you? Terrifying looking man.
Exactly. Now, right, so that established, we can move on.
He used to put a lot of Vaseline over his eyebrows, didn't he, Jim Leighton?
It didn't help. I mean, I remember him vividly from the, was it the 89-90 FA Cup final against Crystal Palace where he was so bad? And this is how much of a fucking knobhead Alex Ferguson was, that he dragged Jim Leighton around behind him from Aberdeen and then down to Scum Trafford. And then he has one bad game in a cup final. He's like, nope, replay, Les Seeley's in.
Good God, I've just Googled Jim Leighton, and the first picture that comes up is him playing for Scotland, and he does indeed have Vaseline all over his face and his front teeth out. It's a terrifying sight. If you've never seen Jim Leighton, just look him up. First image you'll see.
Jesus Christ, I'm just looking at the same picture on Google Images, the red kit.
Yeah.
My awful. Word. What's he doing?
I mean, Colin Hendry's in the background as well, and I imagine next to him, Colin Hendry would look Berardi-esque in his handsomeness.
All right, then let's pick a hero, please.
Well, having slagged off scum, I mean, I feel bad doing this, but like Gary Neville seems to have done some quite nice stuff.
Well, he never played in goal for them, did he?
Your words, not mine.
But, you know, he's paying his staff at his hotel and he's giving the hotel over to the key workers and stuff, which is, I suppose, quite good of him, really. If he thinks about it, he's trying to make up for his past mistakes, I suppose. Still fuck Ryan Giggs, because he owns it too. And I imagine he's had nothing to do with it.
There are some good things happening in the world of football. I noticed Arsenal were publicising what they're up to today, and they've done things like making their fleet of club cars available for NHS deliveries to use. And one of the first tweets in reply to all this was from an Arsenal fan that said, this is just PR to cover up the team's performance. And I thought, yeah, this is one of the reasons why I don't particularly want the Premier League to come back. Just close the Premier League down.
Arsenal fans are a very special breed of insane, though, it has to be said. Other heroes, then, who have you got?
Well, we can bring it home to the good things that the Leeds players are doing. The ones who donated cash to the Leeds fans food bank, who they do this, I think, on the down low. The Leeds players, quietly involved with supporting that on their own initiative. Graham, who is part of the Leeds United Supporters Trust, was speaking about it and said that last year, unprompted, with nobody at the club telling them to go and do it, or even being asked, they did they organised a big food collection amongst themselves and took it down and said specifically that they didn't want to be publicised. I think there was a photo of Barry Douglas taking some food down there once, and I think the story was that they had to basically coax him into being pictured because it would generate good publicity if they said the players had come down, but they've been trying to keep it under the radar and done it again, not taking food this time because of the social distancing, but sending a load of cash that purely the players had pulled together amongst themselves, which is very, very good. I did notice, I think it was Zlatan was starting a fundraising campaign. And I think, to be fair to him, he was maybe targeting it at fellow footballers, but there is always a tendency to say, we'll get the fans to pay for it. So it's kind of nice that the players not trying to launch any kind of fan fundraising campaign, because the trust are already organising that. They just decided, get the wallets open, chuck some money in where it's going to be really helpful.
Yeah, good deeds all round. Apart from, there is one Leeds player who I should have nominated him as a villain, actually. Ilian Meslier, who has done the video, you know, for the goalkeeping child who we mentioned before, who's gone viral.
Yes.
Obviously, loads of Leeds players have since chimed in, particularly him being the most prominent one. The depth of his voice, Ilian Meslier, remarkable for one so young. And I should have put him in for the villains, because when she heard it, my wife immediately fell pregnant. So
I was going to say, the number of fatherless French babies that are going to be born 9 months from now into an already strained NHS, frankly irresponsible for Leeds United to choose this moment to reveal that is his voice.
I'm a bit concerned, really. How can you possibly take instructions on a field from a voice like that? You have to hear it an awful lot before you stop going, oh, who's that? I mean,
it's not commanding, it's suggestive. That's the thing. Mm. You'd, Liam Cooper isn't going to be rushing to mark somebody at a corner, but he's going to maybe feel like he wants to after maybe dinner, some light conversation, and it'll be distracting. Just on, like, to top off the Messi, I think I did enjoy Andrea Ratrizzani retweeted one of the answers that I think it might have been a classic case of where he only reads the first line of a tweet, because somebody responded to Meslier. He pronounces his name properly on the video as well, so I'm going to have to go and I would study it to learn it, but I literally can't concentrate on the words. It just sounds like seduction with no language. But I think he's inviting this kid to go and train at Thorpe Arch. So one of the replies, the top line is, this is fantastic. And I think that's the moment when Radrizzani went, yeah, this, I'll retweet that. And then the next line is, but did anyone expect Ilian to sound like the fucking Terminator? I am stunned. And I don't know if old Rad's read all the way to the bottom of that one.
Oh, the heroes then, there must be plenty.
It's a self-indulgent one, this, but I'm gonna nominate Sam Mather, because he sent me a webcam, because I tried to buy one so we could do this podcast remotely, and they've sold out everywhere. A bit like webcams and bog roll seem to be the thing that have sold out absolutely everywhere. So he's done me a favour.
You should have told me. You needed a webcam. I bought 50 of them last week with my bog rolls.
I was going to say, webcams and bog roll are not a combination that we need as society falls down around us,
but one we are familiar with.
And finally, anyone else before we close this one off?
We've got Chelsea women's coach, Emma Hayes, who I actually tracked this story's made it to Argentina, because they will lap up any tidbit about Marcelo Bielsa at any time. But I suppose especially now, when he's essentially, I don't know, I suppose he's isolating in his flat above a shop in Weatherby, isn't he? As far as we know. But Emma was also isolating in a cupboard. I think she's got Michael's problem of having children, although I imagine it was a more difficult process bringing them into the world for Emma than for Michael. But yes,
I did my bit.
She snuck an hour to watch Marcelo Bielsa on YouTube. She says, I love that guy. I watched a video of him talking about tactics and formations against Brazil, and I absolutely loved it. I had to hide in the cupboard for a bit so my son was not cognizant of where I was. So a woman after... all our hearts, I think, any of us given the opportunity to hide under the stairs with a video of Marcelo Bielsa. I think that seems like a very safe place to be at the moment.
A footballer using the word cognizant, that's thrown me a little bit.
Yes, but it's the Leeds players who are having this, isn't it? I think just to bring a nice little bit of sunshine and warmth and light to everybody's life for doing something good at a difficult time.
I've just been watching, actually, the club have just put out a video of the under-18s kicking the bog roll around, and I don't know who it is because I don't know the under-18s well enough, but somewhere in the middle of the video, they're all like passing it to each other. There's a lad in the 96-97 Packard Bell shirt, so get him immediately in the first team.
Good lad. So are we giving it to the Leeds first team, the Leeds players for donating to the food bank? I think we should.
Yes, we should, and for all the other good stuff. Liam Cooper was also in the papers telling people they need to stay home. Stuart Dallas did his video. They do seem to be, we've said this a few times over the last couple of seasons. They seem like we've, after the dark years of Belushki and co, we've landed on a decent bunch, and a bunch with worries as well, because as we mentioned before, Andre Ratridze and his family are in Milan. There's an article in our new issue of the fanzine where Anthony Crudson, who is locked down in northern Italy at the moment, he speaks to Gaetano Berardi, who also has family in northern Italy that he's worried about, and Pablo Hernandez as well. He mentions that him and Pablo are watching the news all the time, so they know what's going on back in Italy and Spain. We've got a decent bunch of fellas.
It's a great bunch of lads.
A great bunch of lads, and the women's team are, you know, they seem like a good bunch of lads as well. Don't want to leave them out. They took being kicked out of Thorpe Arch with good grace and went and won a match, didn't they? And getting in on the bog roll challenge too.
If you want to get involved with that one, by the way, do your bit alongside the Leeds players and give a little bit of cash to the food bank. Have a look on justgiving.com/crowdfunding/Leeds Fans Food Bank. Well, you're not allowed to go abroad anymore, so we are taking you on a tour of the USA, a virtual tour instead, on The Extra Ball this week. It's our other subscription podcast. If you want something to fill the time we're saying over this break, enjoy the free month that you get on there. It's on the website, squareball.net/The Extra Ball. So we're going over to Washington, D.C. to relive Whites in Washington. Now, if you're over a certain age or you had a Leeds United VHS collection in the mid to late 1990s, you remember this. It was kind of a weird post-season tour of a couple of games against a couple of sides that looked very much like a stag do, hashtag lads.
It was like the Myanmar tour, but with lager and Lee Sharp.
And what's beautiful is the video of this as well. It does celebrate the boozy culture at the club, which is quite encouraging. I can't see anything.
Which should be celebrated. We're talking about football needs reorganising and to develop a social conscience in the future. Nah, just shows the players getting pissed. Stuart Dallas making a speech about people staying at home. I want to see him with a can of dark fruits lying on the floor.
There's also our Championship Manager extra show as well that comes with an Extra Ball subscription. If you want to get involved, as I mentioned before, thesquareball.net/TheExtraBall. So lined up this week, then we've got the Extra Ball, Whites in Washington. The Phil Hayes Show will be along in the second half of this week. Obviously, no Match Ball podcasts at the minute. If you want to ping through a voice memo to get involved with one of the podcasts, we'd love to get you on and let us know what you want us to talk about. thesquareball.net/WhatsApp, and that will take you through to the app and fill in the number and everything else like that. Links through to our mags, subs, and merchandise can be found at thesquareball.net. And that just about wraps it up for this one then. First show under the belt done remotely. It's not been the easiest thing in the world, has it? Missing each other's beautiful faces.
It's been a bloody torturous, I have to say. I'm sure it'll edit down and sound absolutely
fine. There'll be no trace of the fact that we spent 2.5 hours doing this across at least two different recording platforms trying to get... If there are any broadband engineers out there who could run a cable to Dan's house just as a bit of a emergency utility work, we'd appreciate that.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.